Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Today we'd like to send a very special thank you to the Keith McNally Restaurant Group for supporting the No Goat Left Behind project. You can help support the project by visiting Mineta Tavern, Balthazar, or Polino's and trying one of the menu items featuring goat. Goat is the most eaten protein in the entire world, yet in the US we import most of our goat. Our dairy farms are forced to kill some male goats at birth because there's no market for them. Help make a change. Support No Goat Left Behind.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show. Spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, to pluck the low-hanging fruit of the literati, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
All right, hello everybody, we're back. It's the Mike and Judy Show, streaming live on the Heritage Radio Network from behind Roberta's in Bushwick. This is Mike Edison with the woman who is truly too hot for television, Judy McGuire.
I feel bad when we have authors on and the intro says the low-hanging fruit of the literati. These ladies are not low-hanging fruit.
Are you kidding me? This is a cavalcade of brilliant and beautiful women. Again, I am like the luckiest guy on the internet.
You really are. We are definitely biased in favor of women on this show.
I think we just know because women are smarter.
And more fun.
That's it.
And cuter. Mm-hmm. And smell better.
Generally speaking.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
Hey, Mike, I think today is kind of a special day for you.
It is kind of a special day. My new book is finally on sale, Dirty, Dirty, Dirty. You can get it on Amazon.com. And, oh, thanks, Jack. That's nice. Dirty, Dirty, Dirty. My new book is out, and next week we're going to do a whole special on it. We're going to have some of my favorite pornographers on the air. In the meanwhile, though, hope everyone will find me at MikeEdison.com and see where my book tour is taking me.
And watch that 3D trailer, which is the coolest book trailer that ever existed.
Oh, thanks,
Judy. It really is. I'm not just saying that because you're my friend and co-host.
Where's my friendship bracelet, speaking of being my friend?
Okay. Which brings us to our authors today. The two founders of Bust Magazine. Mike, how long have you known Lori?
Forever and a day, it seems. Seems like we've always known each other. There's always been Bust Magazine.
Debbie Stoller, I know her boyfriend. I know her through Marcia Zellers. Lori Henzel. Am I saying it wrong?
No, that's
Henzel.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure where the accent went. But they just came out with the Bust DIY Guide to Life. They're the founders of Bust Magazine. And thank you so much for coming on to our show today.
Hey, thanks for having us.
This is great. I got to say, first of all, the book looks amazing. The Bust DIY Guide to Life.
Yeah, I mean, I've bought copies of the Reader's Digest, like, home book for my brother who's clueless and a homeowner. But this is so much cooler, and it's a perfect college graduation gift.
I've Bart Simpson's Guide to Life, and this is much better.
Obviously, a man who's never had to regrout his own tub.
Well, let me ask you something. I'm the boy in the room. Can I benefit from the Bust Magazine DIY book, or is it chicks only?
Well, I don't think the hair columns are going to help you very much.
No, that ship has sailed.
No bouffant for Mike.
You probably would look good with a Clara Bow makeover, though. You could do that. But no, of course, there's plenty of other things in there. There's crafting. There's home things about, you know, taking care of your home, buying a home, financial stuff. It's a DIY guide to life, so there's all kinds of things in there.
And lots of cocktail recipes.
Oh, yeah. Right. Lots
you'll enjoy.
That's good. Is this sort of like Sex and the Single Girl? Is this like a descendant of Helen Gurley Brown and that sort of philosophy?
Helen Gurley Brown did not grout her own.
She did no grouting. Well, I'm a Jew and I don't grout either. My people don't do that. We have contractors for that shit.
No, I was really impressed by the breadth of knowledge included. I mean, there's like how to make a change purse from a cassette a cassette tape, which probably most of the people listening don't even know what a cassette tape is.
You gotta do something with them.
And you know how to save up for a house, how to finance, you know, how to save money, how you should save money, breaking up money. That was the part I was most impressed with, because that's what I need.
It's all good advice that anybody really needs.
You guys must be like rich beyond anybody's wildest dreams from doing Bust Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are like the Hugh Hefners of women's independent publishing.
There's lots of money to be made in feminism, let me tell you. That is a booming industry.
Is feminism exist anymore? What is the state of feminism?
It would be really nice to think there was no need for feminism, mm-hmm, but right? Yes, it still exists, I think. Ladies? Yes.
Yeah, of course it still exists.
We'd like to think you were the de facto leaders of this movement.
I don't think there really is a leader of the movement.
And isn't that the problem?
It's kind of a mistake to think that feminism is like one monolithic thing with like meetings and an agenda and all that. You know, it's just... I think anybody who's a feminist that believes that, you know, women and men should be of equal value and that we still have a way to go before that actually happens.
I would agree with that. I'd say men and women are equal in the eyes of God.
It's pretty hard to disagree with that.
And yet so different, so wonderfully different. Speaking of movements with no leaders, who's been down to Wall Street lately?
I have. I went down yesterday.
Yeah, and what did you find?
A lot of dreadlocks. Actually, I went on Friday and I went on Saturday morning. Friday was the day that they were going to close it, and then at the last minute they didn't. And there was a lot more, you know, kind of dreads and hippies. But Saturday was a mix, more, mm-hmm, you know, people who actually have jobs and different ages, different ethnicities.
A lot of curiosity.
And a lot of tourists, yeah.
I was down there Saturday, and there were a lot of
fights.
I mean, you know, I haven't
seen...
There
were fights?
Well, there was, yeah, this one guy was like, God bless America. You know, there was like a Republican in the mix, and that got...
Agent provocateur motherfucker.
Yeah. It actually was really interesting to see everybody kind of like call him on it, and then I left because it was like freaking me out.
But, you know, I think the movement such as it suffers from the dreadlocks and a lot of street theater and a lot of hippie cliches.
Yeah, it's not focused yet, but I think it's good, and I'm glad it's happening, and I think it's going to get better.
I think so, too.
With time.
Yeah, I mean,
more and more unions
are...
getting involved. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. I stand with these people.
Now, you guys, speaking of like DIY and movements and feminism and stuff, you guys started Bust in 1993?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So what made you decide to do it? Was it a reaction to all the beautiful articles in Cosmo? Were you just, you know, music? What
you
was
know,
it?
1993 was a really interesting time because a lot of really awesome movements were happening, especially around feminism, like Riot Girl. And there was this whole new energy around... you know, just sort of a different approach to take to feminism about reclaiming and sort of evolving ideas that have been coming up in the 60s and 70s. But that was not being reflected anywhere in the media. Women's magazines still just kept reporting as if the only thing women were concerned about was how to take an outfit from, you know, work to the after work party or something.
And, obviously, we're all concerned about that.
And, you know, the only magazine that was kind of reflected any of this energy was Sassy, which was a magazine for teenage girls, very influential at the time, but we were well beyond our teens. Mm-hmm. And when any of the movers and shakers were interviewed for Sassy, like, you know, Kim Gordon or Courtney Love, they would say, oh, you know, I wish there was a magazine like this for me when I was a teenager. But I wish there was a magazine like this for us now, because it's not like women in their 20s and 30s have everything figured out. So that was the motivation behind Bust. Let's see if we can make something like this that can... you know, reflect who we are now, reflect who women really are and our concerns, and talk about that stuff.
And you guys always have great cover people. Is there anybody that you really want who you haven't been able to get so far?
Dolly Parton.
Really? You can't get her?
No, you would think. We'll do it one of these days. She's always too busy. She doesn't like to do photo shoots.
Oh. Well, can't you use stock photos or something?
May I nominate Judy McGuire?
Yeah.
The woman who was too hot for television?
I would still to have Courtney Love. Oh, yeah. And we'll never get to talk to Madonna, but I would like that.
Well, Madonna would be great.
What's her problem? What is her problem? That's a broad general question. What is the problem with Madonna? The fuck's up with her? You know, I mean, she seems... we were reading today in the paper that Sybil was a fraud with the whole... I saw this, and it just reminded me of Madonna and her multiple personalities.
We agree to disagree on the Madonna.
Well, I think I was never a fan of her music, but there was a time when I was a fan of her, the person, that she seemed very sex positive, and her take on feminism and the way she controlled her business was exemplary. It was really strong. I thought it was great. At some point, though, she just sort of became a sort of like obnoxious part of the 1%. You know, she didn't seem lost touch with everything.
Her music is terrible.
It's awful.
I love her music. Not all of it, but I really...
I'm more interested in Madonna as a performance artist than as a musician. Mm-hmm. And I think her performance is always about women, femininity, the image of women, the judgments that are made about women's images, women's sexuality, being a sexual object versus being a sexual subject, all that stuff is really insightful and shifts the culture. I think the fact that she pisses so many people off is important.
I think if she's not pissing her people off, she's not doing her job.
And I always think it's interesting that her biggest fans were always young girls and gay men, and it was straight men that seemed to really, really hate her a lot. So I think anybody that can do that is hitting on something that's important.
Yeah, I think so. At which point, is she still relevant?
Yeah.
Say that with some conviction, is. McGuire.
I'm interested in seeing how she takes on, you know, older age.
She seems to be fighting with it a great
deal. Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed in that. Yeah. I'm surprised. I thought she would have really had a different kind of take on it, since I think she's been so clever about her takes on, you know, various aspects of femininity over the years.
But she's getting a lot of work done. And
she's getting way too much work done. It's scary. But I do really approve of her taking young boy lovers constantly, because men in her position always do that, and it drives people crazy when a woman does that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with her doing that. I think it's cool. Why not?
More powerful.
What about Courtney? You guys had Courtney before, didn't you?
She actually wrote a piece for us once way, way, way back in the day, but we've never had her on the cover. She's a really smart lady.
Yeah, I write for The Fix, and they do videos with her sometimes. Mm-hmm. She seems like she's really gone off the deep end.
She has issues.
Courtney?
Yeah.
Get around off the deep end and around the bend.
I think she's just one of those people that's really smart, but also kind of crazy.
You know,
the smart comes out sometimes, but it also the crazy just overshadows the smart.
I'll tell you who I dig. I dig Lady Gaga. You know, I really do. I don't like her music, but I'm not, you know, the pop music element doesn't interest me at all, but I like whoever's on her team, the fashion stuff, it's got a real avant-garde edge to it. I love the way she treats her fans, the way she includes everyone, certainly, you know, the whole anti-bullying message. I think she's great. And I love the art direction. I mean, it's astonishing. It's really, really, really good. And she hasn't seemed to repeat herself yet.
No.
You know, I feel like Madonna did first. I like Lady Gaga. You know, I approve.
But Lady Gaga's not doing anything of what Madonna did. Madonna's imagery really had a lot to do with how women were represented, and she changed that up a lot, sort of played with it, in the same way that Cindy Sherman's art did at the same time when Madonna was first coming out. Like, where, don't try to fix a woman just by how she looks. She may be totally creating that image and can change it and shift it. In the beginning, Lady Gaga was awesome, I thought, when she was wearing giant bubble dresses and kept making a point about, like, I don't want to just be another sexy girl out there. But that changed so quickly. And even though she's supposedly, like, weird, she's still weird, like, with a firm butt. And, like, she's becoming sort of sexualized in a very, you know, stereotypical way that's kind of disappointing to me.
I guess I haven't seen so much recent stuff. I didn't think, like, the meat dress was very sexy or anything. I don't know. And she says she eats, like, 5 almonds a day, which is just insane.
Well, I mean, she's a performer, and sure, she's in shape, and she's a legit musician.
But too bad the music is so awful. That's the problem.
There's always been bad pop music.
No.
You know,
it's better than Katy Perry. That's one I can't stand.
And ancient astronauts like us, it's not for us. Right. So I sort of don't even worry that I don't like her music, because I don't expect to.
If you like them, you can't be like,
I mean, I'm not a 15-year-old girl or you know, confused boy. Where does Patti Smith fit into this continuum?
I love Patti. She's great.
But, I mean, she was certainly one of the first to desexualize women in rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. What's the fix? Who does she know? Who do you mean? The National Book Award? I'm just like, hey, with me, Patti Smith, she's gotten to the point, though, where she's such a sacred cow.
Yeah.
And she has no sense of humor. I have trouble taking her seriously at this point.
Oh,
also, I know this is the most unpopular. This is worse than saying the Beatles.
You talk about
Patti Smith and
no
people want to start shooting you. No sense of humor. Google it. I have.
I've
Googled Patti Smith's sense of humor.
I saw her speak at the public library last year.
Yeah, I did too.
It was great.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was self-effacing. She was smart. She mispronounced words and called herself on it. She was very engaging. But I don't think she's been a feminist icon. She put her career aside when she got married.
There's no problem with that. I don't think any. Brand of feminism has no problem with her putting her career on the side when she got married or to raise kids. But I do have a problem with the fact that I don't think Patti Smith's ever been very much of a fan of the ladies. She says that she's not a feminist. She isn't very particularly supportive of other female musicians. So although I think she's an interesting and wonderful poet and performer and musician, in terms of what she does for our images of women, I don't think very much. At least she's disavowed herself from all that, which is disappointing.
Who are the role models that Bust embraced? But that, but right I know that in 2011, whatever year this is, 2011.
I mean, is it Mike?
Is it fuck no?
You know you released it. Hey, speaking of hot feminists, which we weren't really, but we're going to take a 50, we're going to take a break with La Tigra.
Those are feminists.
That was TKO by La Tigra, who I believe Bust loves.
Yeah, sure. They've been on our cover.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Getting back to the book, The Bust DIY Guide to Life, out now. You can buy it at your favorite independent bookseller, or if you must, on Amazon. Now, I just bought a Kindle, and this is not a Kindle book. This is a book that you have to buy. It's a hardcover. It has pictures. Mm-hmm. It does not lend itself to the Kindle, maybe to the iPad. I don't know. But since only one of us is an iPad owner. But you guys started off doing this out of frustration with women's magazines and wanted a more feminist take on thing. But then you started doing, like, Debbie, you pretty much have a knitting empire now, like a knitting sewing empire. You are the queen of Stitchin' Bitch. And you guys started doing crafts columns and stuff in the magazine. How does this reconcile itself with feminism?
All right, well, we're just trying to figure out which one. So we started, I was saying that we were really interested in starting Bust in the 90s with the Riot Girl movement, which took this whole different approach of sort of reclaiming things, or at least reexamining a lot of things that our feminist foremothers had tossed out and said, you know, this is bad, this is not something that women should be doing. And so over the history of course of Bust, we sort of reexamined a number of different things, from like fashion, is there a way to do, you know, fashion a little bit differently? Is there a way to do beauty coverage? Like, do these things have a place in a magazine at all? Reclaiming along the way what, you know, sort of our own take on that stuff. And then eventually we sort of got to the domestic sphere. Like, are these things that women have traditionally done, whether it's, you know, crafting or cooking or cleaning, you know, these are all things that our feminist foremothers wanted to get women away from because they felt like that women were trapped doing those things. But, you know, the question is, are those things in and of themselves such a bad way to spend your time, or were they looked down on just because women were restricted to doing those things at the expense of any other things, and those things were really devalued in the culture? So, mm-hmm. In 1997, we just started publishing like a crafting column. We didn't make a big fanfare about it. We didn't make a big essay about why feminists should reexamine this women's work and give it new value, but we just had it in there. And then, you know, with each passing year, we added a little bit more, a little bit of cooking, because our idea was these things are perfectly valid and valid ways and valuable ways to spend your time.
And you need to do them anyway.
Yeah, as valuable as, like, you know, playing baseball or any of the other things that come out of more male culture. Like,
right.
There's nothing more frivolous about playing soccer or watching soccer than sewing a pillow or whatever. But it's just that these things that women have done aren't valued as much. So we wanted to try to get them some more respect, get them some more props in the magazine. And over the years, that just expanded and expanded. Our readers didn't complain about it. And, of course, over the past decade, we've seen this huge explosion in the same kind of attitude of, like, this whole DIY movement of trying to learn back these things that people sort of had forgotten how to do for various reasons. Our motivation was more this kind of feminist theory one. Uh-huh. But in the intervening years, there's all kinds of other reasons that people are interested in that, from, you know, trying to get themselves separated from the global corporate culture to, you know, being more environmentally friendly. And
which was the message from the beginning anyway, so it was a continuation of the bust manifesto. Mm-hmm. Is there a bust manifesto?
No.
No manifesto.
Bustafesto?
The bustafesto? There aren't enough manifestos. You know, people just are not writing enough manifestos, speaking of those kids at Wall Street. So when Bust came out, though, you found traction right away. You found your audience pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I think you fulfilled a niche, which is the key to good magazine publishing.
Well,
is
I think
finding
women were really looking for smart writing that wasn't about how to get a husband, how to wear eyeliner correctly. Although that's also in Bust.
Which wearing is, eyeliners correctly is very important.
It is very important.
Really, what page is that on?
that's actually in the book. Several makeovers, but also
I'm like, a fucking disaster.
How to kill cockroaches, and you know, a lot of really. Less glamorous,
less of a few things.
I mean, it's like it really is a guide to life. Like you have to know how to cook. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only people who don't have to know how to do things like cook and, you know, mend a sock are rich people. So this is
the 1%.
The 1% for the 99% of people,
right?
They could benefit from the Bust.
So basically,
DIY
Bust is waging class warfare. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And you guys are going on a book tour for how long?
Just about a week. Yeah.
So what's this book tour? I imagine that you have a bus, like a giant bust jet.
No, actually, Lori's flying for most of the tour, and I'm taking the train because I don't like to fly. There is one leg of the tour that we're going to do together, a 24-hour train ride. It's going to be so cool.
Oh my God,
it's beautiful. No, we have a sleeper, and there's like a whole lounge room, and they have wine and cheese tastings on that train, Lori, and they show movies.
This sounds like a bust book tour. Yeah.
It is really fun.
So where are we taking this tour?
Well, first we're going to...
And what will you be wearing in the sleeper car?
Pajamas.
Footy pajamas.
Footy pajamas.
Silk robe and slippers.
Do you know when girls have sleepovers, it's just like a big Vaseline pillow fight.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Of course.
It's very
sexy.
And the
women of Bust are no different, I imagine.
Yeah. No, but we're going to Baltimore on the 20th, and then that's just a day trip. And then we go to Seattle, I believe, November 2nd. We have a couple things in Seattle, a couple things in San Francisco, and we end up in Portland.
Hippie towns.
Yeah.
No L.A.
No, I don't know.
All hippie towns. That's good. So it's not easy putting out a magazine.
No.
Right now. I mean, this is a business that I love the magazine business. When I was editing magazines, I mean, I really loved that, you know, you'd work hard for a month, and then you get to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was new and exciting.
You get an actual thing to hold in your hand.
Absolutely.
And it's usually pretty nice looking.
And then there's, what's that thing, the magic box, what's that thing called? Oh yeah, the internet came.
Yeah,
right. These streams of electrons kind of put a thorn in the paw of the whole business. Where are you guys at right now? I mean, how are you handling or straddling the dichotomy of running a print magazine? And your magazine looks great. Bust is on the newsstand still.
Yeah.
It looks great. You haven't gone the way of other magazines. Playgirl and Hebe come to mind right away.
Mm-hmm.
We just gave up the ghost and decided to exist only online.
Oh, I thought Playgirl still published. What do I know?
No. They've folded. Well, you know, we had a website since 1994, I think, is when we first started our website. And but we always had the website to do things that the magazine couldn't do, like have more community aspects and
right, like the forums were great,
and have, you know, things where people can contribute, you know, travel tips or whatever. I have to say, you know, Bust has never really been an easy magazine to publish. It's hard to step outside of what people expect women's magazines are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to explain to advertisers what we're trying to be. It's even hard to explain to readers
what
we're trying to be. So we're no stranger to, you know, struggle. But we still hang in there. What do you think, Lori?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's never been easy for us. There's never been a time where we've been like, yeah, this is rocking. I mean, it's just constantly.
Well, maybe it's better, you know, not to be hot for 6 months. It's better to be warm for 20 years.
I still think we're pretty hot.
They're hot.
You know?
They're hot.
Well, I mean, you don't want to be a trend that goes by the wayside.
Right.
You know, you're certainly not a flash in the pan.
No.
You've got longevity. This magazine's been around for a while. It's a good brand. I'm looking at the new magazine. It's absolutely as consistently good as it's ever been. There's no question about it.
You guys were hooked up with outside financing for a while.
Briefly,
One year.
Yeah, for about a year and a half. And then that company went bust,
right?
Literally. And Debbie and I were able to buy the name back from them, and we started all over again. So, yeah, That was terrible. That was probably the worst, the darkest days, because it was literally dead for a good 6 months.
Would you consider an outside financer again? I mean,
Yeah. I mean, we were burned, and we learned a lot of things mm-hmm. of how not to do it that way. I would definitely, of course, love it, but it would have to be the right fit. And
because you guys didn't come from publishing. You came from children's TV, right?
Well, I had worked at a couple magazines, okay. just in like production. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we both met at Nickelodeon. We had no idea what we were doing. We've learned everything just along the way. Yeah. But it's pretty, you know, it's not that complicated. It's putting a product out and selling it.
I think why it's great is because it's a reflection of the people who started it. And all great magazines, I think, at least at the beginning, and that includes, you know, Playboy, which was great for mm-hmm. a few years, was a reflection of the guy who started it. Mm-hmm. Rolling Stone before he became the biggest sellout in the business. But all the great magazines really were a reflection, an honest vision of the people who started them, whether it was William Gaines at Mad or Henry Luce, Clay Felker. I mean, these people had real visions, and that's why their magazines were great, and this is no different. Mm-hmm.
Martha Stewart, Oprah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to lady up your list.
Yeah, lady up my list. And Gloria
Helen Gurley Brown.
And I love HGB. And mm-hmm. Gloria Steinem. Well, she didn't start Cosmopolitan, though. Gurley Brown, right? But when she took it over, the sales went through the fucking roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was, you know.
Well, she tarted it up, frankly, right? I mean, mm-hmm. and it's been that way. I mean, Cosmo is a magazine very much about sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cosmo is also, you know, kind of mind-numbingly stupid, though.
It's really dumb. I wouldn't mind talking about Martha for a minute.
Yeah.
We love Martha.
I like Martha, too.
She gets a terrible... She gets a bad rap just because she's tough.
Because she's like a bossy broad.
People hate her. Uh-huh. A lot of men hate her. But I admire her. I think she's great.
I'll tell you what. When we were doing Screw Magazine and she was getting raked over the coals for that whole SEC violation mm-hmm. thing, we stood behind her. We thought she got screwed. That never would have happened to a man.
No.
Okay, because what she did was definitely wrong. She broke the law, but she never would have been busted that hard and put in jail. She was a man, especially because she was a celebrity and a woman.
Right.
You know, absolutely, we stood behind her. People were surprised that Screw Magazine came after Martha Stewart, but just calling them like we see them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who else in, what about Oprah, for instance? She seems like she lives on another planet. She's so inaccessible to anything that would even come.
Hefner doesn't live on a different planet?
He's a douchebag. He lives in, Hugh Hefner is the only planet that orbits itself.
Well, you know, Oprah does, but I think what's been so beautiful about Oprah is that she's always been sort of stood up for the women that the rest of society does not care about, that the rest of society thinks have no value, which are like, you know, the housewives, the middle-aged, you know, non-career women, just women who are basically past their sexual prime and that society has no use for, and who really kind of struggle to find a way to feel comfortable in the world. And I think Oprah's always been out there understanding that difficulty and, like, you know, being there. I don't know, just being really for them and trying to help them with
their cheerleader.
That's great, yeah.
She's kind of responsible for Dr. Phil, though, right?
Well, she's, you know, you have to have some misses, but she also got a lot of people.
I like Dr. Phil.
Okay.
Oh. It's Dr. Oz that I hate.
Ozzy? I guess I don't watch him.
Is that Dr. Ozzy Osbourne? That Dr. Oz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet if Oprah were still on the air, she would pick this as an Oprah book.
I wish.
Oh, man. Yeah,
that would have been awesome.
And you guys would love that, right?
Who wouldn't want the Oprah bump?
Yeah, really.
I love the bust book. I'm a dude and I'm going to buy it. I recommend to all the dudes listening to the Mike and Judy show, go out and get this book, because aside from the hair thing, which is not really going to help me anyway, I mean, the eyeliner makeup and the killing the cockroaches. No, it's a great book. It looks amazing.
It looks beautiful.
It's really first rate, as is Bust Magazine. And are you guys?
Thank you so much for coming on.
So we follow you guys. Thanks. We follow this tour on Twitter and
we'll be twatting twatting a little bit.
Give us your Twitter handles.
It's bust_magazine. It's just
okay.
And it's usually me or Debbie or whoever.
And is it just bust.com?
Yeah, bust.com.
Wow, that's you guys bought that URL early.
When all else fails,
hopefully we can make some money on that, you know, when things go terrible. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that.
Well, I can't wait. I think this is all good.
All right. Who's on the cover of the next issue?
Kat Dennings, who is an actress.
Cute.
Yeah.
Well, I love, I have the current issue right here. This is the special Earth issue. And
Mindy Kaling, everyone loves from The Office.
And it's good. The Eco Revolution, Urban Farming Made Easy, very good for the Heritage Radio Network and our friends mm-hmm. here at Roberta's.
I'm sure some of their friends are in that article.
51 Ways to Go Green Without Going Broke. Mm-hmm. And planet-friendly. What is a planet-friendly look?
Oh, organic cotton shit, you know.
Damn, I thought you were going to dress up like Sun Ra.
All right, well, thanks, you guys. We'll see you next week on the Mike and Judy Show for the Dirty, Dirty, Dirty
Extravaganza.
Woo!
Thank you.
Walking down Madison, I swear I never had a gun. No one ever shot no one, I was only having fun. Walking down Madison, swear I never had a gun. I was philosophizing some, checking out the bums. See you give them your nickels, your pennies and dimes, but you
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com. as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.